Media Focus.
Welcome everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your facilitator for this session and broadcaster. This session is Senior Focus. Now, I have with me today Taryn Banks, who is a communicator and sign language expert and is actually involved in the Access Matters campaign. I have invited Taryn to come and speak with me about the legislation that's in the House that we have had programs about over the last 5 years. And this bill is all about improving access for New Zealanders, and not just wheelchair access. This is not just buildings. This is about psychological barriers that prevent people accessing what they need. It's all kinds of access. And so Taryn's going to explain about the bill and its significance. Welcome, Taryn.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Thank you very much for having me here today. As you alluded to, we've had a long campaign of 5 years to see an accessibility bill introduced into the House here in New Zealand, which would bring up New Zealand into line with other similar overseas jurisdictions. And it is a great step in the right direction. However, we do feel that a lot of the people that have been calling for this legislation for a long time will be a little disappointed. The bill lacks the force and effect that we would really like to see in a piece of legislation. And so we will be calling on everybody who wants to see a more inclusive and accessible Aotearoa New Zealand. That, of course, includes our seniors, because obviously, as with an ageing population, our access needs increase over time. And, of course, we want to make sure that all New Zealanders at all stages of their life can fully participate to their potential. So that's why this is so important. It's perhaps led by the disability community, but it's so important for all sectors of our community, and particularly seniors and also parents of small children who are navigating society with prams or wanting to access websites. They need to be accessible for all ages and stages of life.
Yes, thank you for outlining that comprehensive view of the bill, Taryn, and it has been brought to our attention that we not only have an increasing ageing population, but there's a much higher incidence of people with accessibility needs in our population right across the lifespan. So I understand the figure is about 25% of the population having some disability barriers.
That's actually right, and that's across all age groups.
Mm-hmm.
But over 65, that's like a jump exponentially. I'm not sure of the exact percentage, but this is obviously access issues really do impact that group much more significantly compared to perhaps the general age range of the population. So it's super important, and it also future-proofs our society. I mean, if we get our society right for our seniors, we get it right for everyone.
Yes, that is a banner statement that we've used quite a bit on this program in conjunction with talking about age-friendly.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, age-friendly communities are everybody-friendly communities.
Yes. All age is friendly.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is a very significant step forward. It may not be everything that everybody would have liked, but it's a very much a line in the sand of what New Zealand has been like and what it is going to be like. Do you envisage practical ways that people can get involved in supporting the progress of the bill through the House? Because it's had its first reading this last week.
Yes, that's right. So it had its first reading on Tuesday, and there were actually 12 MPs that spoke to it from across the House. And I think, you know, it's fair to say that a recurring message from almost all of them is to encourage members of the public to participate in the Select Committee process. And in fact, the Select Committee will be open until May next year. They're doing a full Select Committee to ensure they gather the widest breadth of perspectives from all of our groups in society, from different ethnicities, different age groups, different perspectives, rural, urban, you know, all of those things are factors that need to be really considered well in forming a good legislative framework for accessibility. And so the Access Matters campaign, we are, now that we've got the bill, we're in the process of actually creating a submission toolkit that will make this very easy for people. And we really urge people that haven't perhaps participated in the Select Committee process before to do so, because it is a really empowering process to go through, to share your lived experience with the officials that we've elected to represent us. And it was really interesting listening to some of the speakers in the reading of the first bill, and you know, so many of them identified that they had family members or people close to them that had disabilities. And I think for most of us, we do. We have whānau, workmates, extended whānau who have disabilities, and so it is something that matters to all of us.
You know, it's quite interesting since having visited hospital last year and had two surgeries, being more fragile, more vulnerable, how much I've noticed the difficulties of just getting into buildings that have very heavy doors. And as I go into some of these buildings, I think, gee, I remember writing submissions about women with prams trying to get into buildings like this 30, 40 years ago. And here I am, I'm still experiencing this barrier. But as a senior, it's quite a bit more threatening to me than it ever was as a young mum with a pram.
Absolutely. And, you know, New Zealand is 30 plus years behind. The American with Disabilities Act was introduced, I think, 31 years ago, if my math serves me rightly. So yes, you know, you were writing about it 30 to 40 years ago, and you're right, we are 30 or 40 years behind where we need to be. And you know, as New Zealanders, we like to think that we box above our weight and that we're very progressive, but this is an area that's been really lacking. And what we've done is we've done little piecemeal bits of legislation and little clauses here and there that are scattered through various pieces of law, and we've got, you know, the disability strategy. But what we really need now is an act that has the teeth and has the mechanisms to actually remove and prevent barriers from being established that prevent people living their everyday lives. And at the moment, if, you know, that heavy door that you find difficult to open, that a lot of people would find difficult to open, who do you tell? I don't know, and I work in this sector. And so that's one of the features that we want to see is, you know, a clear notification system. We need standards. We need a regulator, and we need a disputes tribunal, or a way to resolve disputes over when we don't agree over accessibility issues. And the law that we have, the bill that we've seen, doesn't include these mechanisms as it is. So we are going to go through the process of doing our due diligence. We're getting some external legal advice around what exactly the bill will, how it will impact our society. And from that advice, that'll be used to help create the submission toolkit. But something people can do now, if they're listening and they're thinking, gee, you know, I had an experience like your heavy door, or I had an experience where I tried to get that bus, but, you know, there was a huge step up, or whatever the barrier is that you're experiencing. We're in the process of collating a thing which we call the Access Denied Diaries. And these, you can do this on our website, which is accessmatters.org.nz. And it's sort of a little bit like an incident report. And in a way, what we're doing is we're modelling what a notification system could look like, whereby you write down, you know, the barrier you experienced, when it happened, where it happened, and what impact that had on your life. You know, I couldn't do my banking that day. I couldn't pay that bill that day. I couldn't get my prescription filled from the chemist that day because this thing got in my way. And that could be digital. It doesn't have to be in the physical space. It could be in whatever, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program. It's in lots of different areas of, like, I couldn't go to watch my grandchild's ballet performance because, you know, there was no way to get into the building, or you know, it's across the board.
Yeah. I think when you mentioned digital, the light bulb flashed, because just last week I was at the AGM for Grey Power nationwide, and the leaders of Grey Power from the 88 associations up and down the country were meeting to discuss their annual remits and the policy statements and the review of action and achievements over the year. And this was one of the things that was a hot, really hot topic: the closure of banks, the withdrawal of non-digital services and channels, so that they were left with the digital options or nothing, and how difficult that was. Like, particularly if you're living rurally and you're, you know, 100 miles to the nearest bank, 100 kilometres, I should say, to the nearest bank, that's not a laughing matter. And some people run the risk of getting cash out of an ATM or from the BP or the supermarket, and the checkout operator's calling out in the shop because they're fumbling and then they're not coping well with their PIN number and so on. Oh, what's your PIN number? And, you know, this is just amazing. So the everyday problems that arise for people because of lack of this access digitally for them, or their incapacity to do new learning that's required, or their lack of support services that are available where they live, or they have to travel too far to get that digital support and that help, or they just don't have any broadband. I was working on a consumer rep panel feeding into policy for the new health directorate, and one of the people on that panel just said to everyone clearly, she said, 75% of the people that live in my district have no access to broadband. None whatsoever. But they can't do online banking.
Yeah, this makes people incredibly vulnerable. And we have received many, many stories about the digital divide. It also makes people very vulnerable to, I suppose, fraud and potentially elder abuse.
Outside in the outside world, when they do access cash, it's often in a very public environment. So then they're a right target.
Yes, or potentially vulnerable to a exploitative family member if they then become reliant on another person to facilitate that digital access to everyday services. You know, and I can see how this is massively concerning for, you know, people who are represented by Grey Power. So, yeah, that's a big issue.
Oh, it's a huge issue. And it concerns me that it's just been too little attention given to it altogether. It's like, it's a big tide, it's a big river, we're all going down the same river. They'll join the river eventually, without any real understanding of what these people's experience actually is.
Yeah, yeah, there needed to be some planning.
We don't seem to be very good at it.
Yeah, some set policy around how to transition our ageing population as our population moves in age, we need a digital strategy that matched their needs.
Mm.
Planning is, we need good frameworks for planning, and I suppose this is why we want a strong legislative framework for accessibility, because the plan will be based on the framework, and if the framework itself isn't strong enough, it won't deliver. That's why we need to continue with our effort to lobby government to strengthen their offering to our community.
I think that is the strongest thing you can say about this bill. While you're talking, I'm thinking of the conversation at the conference about community hubs, about banking hubs within community hubs, and how where that's set up, and there's one at the top of the South Island near Tākaka that they are working with the community on, and it's working really well because all the banks have disappeared, but by bringing a banking hub back in, it's just been a godsend because all the small businesses can deposit cash, they can satisfy their customers' needs. Their customers can buy from them because they can access cash. And there's just so many things that are working for the whole community because this operates so well. And the social connectivity is there. So it actually is taking away the downside of being isolated and lonely.
I think that with a lot of policy changes like that, sometimes there's a failure to think about the unintended consequences. So talking about the digitisation of banking, another one that I know there's discussion at the moment about the pedestrianisation of some areas. And as the wonderful Vivian Naylor, who I believe is also a member of Grey Power and from CCS Disability Action, once said, you know, it's wonderful to have these pedestrianised areas that are very accessible if you can get there effectively through public transport or parking in such a location that a person with an access need can actually be transported to the place to access it. So, you know, that's a, kind of a similar thing, is by removing something, sometimes you create another barrier. So, I suppose it's Looking at change and looking at development through an accessibility lens is important, and that is something that a good accessibility legislation framework should provide, a lens by which to look at the way we build, look at the way we communicate, look at the way we disseminate information, all of those areas of life.
And from my perspective, it can't come fast enough because there's so many things that are changing right now, including the impact of the enabling housing legislation that's almost ready to become law in Auckland at the planning level, replacing the Resource Management Act. So it's going to have huge implications, and at the moment, the design quality that would see accessibility highlighted has actually been wiped. It's not there. There's no protection or vision or insight into what should be in that space at all. And developers have carte blanche to build 1 meter out from each side yard fence, and that's it. They can go for what they can do, what they can get the greatest return on, without any consideration of that it won't be accessible. that it won't actually help. So in terms of actually New Zealand's housing, how accessible is New Zealand's housing, I think it's something we should discuss.
Yeah, actually it was interesting. In the debate of the first reading, Jan Logie quoted the figure of 2% of New Zealand's housing stock as being accessible, which, you know, you don't have to be a mathematician to understand that 2% of our housing is accessible, but 25% of our general population identifies as living with a disability. So, you know, that's obviously got huge ramifications, and particularly for people as they age. You know, if you're, I mean, I myself, I know that part of my future planning for my life is that I will have to sell my house at some point and buy an apartment or something that's got a lift, because my house won't support me in my later years if mobility becomes a challenge for me. I can't have my disabled friend who's a wheelchair user over to my house without her having to be carried into my house, which would not really be very dignified for her. So, you know, ideally we would be using the principles of universal design in our new builds, and that, you know, should be standardised.
It's very hard when we've got legislation coming through the House very suddenly. Even if there's been a long build-up to get there, it's quite sudden in terms of the speed with which it moves. This is good that this is a bit of a delay at the Select Committee level, so hopefully it can be ramped up a bit and it can be made more realistic for the future of the reality of just how many people are going to need this kind of support. And also that it's going to have some teeth, like a tribunal situation that you can get redress, because I think that's the hardest thing, is justice not being served and being denied because the act isn't strong enough.
That's right.
Really, yeah. a very disheartening outcome.
And that's essentially what we've got now, is that, you know, we've got the most vulnerable sector of our community being having to be the watchdog and having to fight everything on a kind of case-by-case basis. We need a systematic approach that's the smartest and most effective way of creating the change we really need.
Smart goals and smart outcomes are not necessarily how people write bills, unfortunately. So we do need to get a lot more lived experience woven into the thinking and the minds of the people who are finalising decision making.
That's right, and that lived experience comes from us. We are the people that can, our stories are what can shift the dial on them. The people listening today, their stories, their family stories, that's what can shift the dial on us, and that's what we need to include in the Select Committee process.
And getting people into cottage meetings and small groups where they can sit around, share those stories and get them recorded and written up and into that Select Committee process. So we will post things, connections on our Planet website. I will have some things available to send out to people.
Yep.
And we always like to hear from readers, and people can capture this, that they can actually listen again or get their friends to listen by going to the Planet website, www.planetaudio.org.nz/programs, and then scroll down till they get to S for Senior Focus.
We also have the campaign teamer available to work one-on-one or with groups as well. So, you know, again, I really encourage people, if you've never made a Select Committee submission before, this is your opportunity, and we can support you right through the process.
That would be good, and we might even have a group of people who are doing that come in and make a program about it. That would be fantastic once we're in the new studio, and that will be possible before the end of the year anyway. So I won't be talking about when, but, you know, we will do it this year.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Taryn. It's been wonderful having you. And we're going out on the Little River Band singing Cool Change, because I think this is a cool change.
Absolutely. Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool and bright clear water. There's lots of those friendly people, they're showing me ways to go, but I never want to lose their inspiration.
together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.